Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It was actually very, very funny. I don't know if you saw the, well, it wasn't funny about Carter's funeral. I mean, it wasn't unfunny. But either way, Carter, as we know, passed away. He was like, I think, what, 187. And he eventually shuffled off this mortal coil. They had a memorial for him. And Obama and Trump were sitting next to each other. And in fact, they looked very, very friendly, which was not unsurprising, but because politics are politics, but it was just there was a lot of speculation, in truth, around what that conversation was about. And then Donald Trump, he shared a spoof of what that conversation could have been about, and it's very, very funny because what it does is it shows obviously a made up conversation. So that begins after Obama takes a seat next to Trump. The two presidents exchange pleasantries as the funeral dirge is sung in the background. And then Obama leans forward and says to Trump, "I knew you'd win." And Trump answers, "Come on. Anyone could beat her." Anyway, so of course, the it's very funny. It's obviously not what was said. But I thought, I'm actually loving Donald Trump with a bit of a sense of humor, because we didn't see this the first time round. He was irritatingly serious. This time, during even the campaign, we've seen a little bit of humor, whether it's about how his campaign was managed or not, I'm not sure, but it is a little bit different. On a more serious note, I guess the question is, what kind of influence is he having, although he's not yet in office, around the hostage deal and the ceasefire agreement? Ben Dror Yamini is a Yediot Achronot journalist. He joins us this morning. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, we hope that something will come out from the negotiations that are taking place right now.
So is there much more hope this time round? The reporting seems to be more positive, but what does that actually mean?
Yeah, well, we have been there. The only big difference is that one of the advisors of Donald Trump came to Israel, and I guess he came in order to tell mainly Benjamin Netanyahu, well, this time we have to make a deal. We want it to be concluded before Trump is taking office.
And does that...
That's a big difference, actually.
Yes. So how much impact does that actually have?
It has a lot because, Netanyahu wants to open a clean page when Trump is beginning, and war and hostages and American involvement. It's not something that he wants, not for now. We have some better goals in ahead of us, like the Saudi Arabia normalization deal and so on. So nobody wants now to continue with this Gaza war. I mean, politically, we know we have a problem in Israel because politically many people assume that Netanyahu wants to continue because of his coalition problems. But between the coalition problems and Donald Trump, I guess he will choose Donald Trump. We hope he will choose Donald Trump.
So how much, and I was wondering this a little bit earlier on the show, how much does this empower Netanyahu to deal with his right-wing element of the coalition? Because they can still leave and cause political turmoil. So therefore, does it have a real impact, or is it just...
It does. Mm-hmm. Of course it does. I mean, this is one of the reasons that we did not achieve an agreement until now. This is one of the reasons. I mean, it's something that everybody knows. Yes, there was a pressure from the extreme right in Israel, and this pressure and this threat to leave the coalition was part of the story. Now, yes, the big change is Donald Trump. The big change is not something new which is happening in the coalition. Well, maybe they have a bit less power because of the one party joining, four Knesset members joining the coalition of Gideon Saar. But we still have a problem. We still have a problem. We don't know how they're going to eventually respond. Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. We have to wait and see for some days now to see what are the details of this deal. So it's too early to say how they are going to respond.
Do we have any idea how extensive the deal is in terms of anything that happens beyond the release of the hostages?
No, we know that many, I don't know how many, but thousands of prisoners are going to be released. And this is part of the problem because many Israelis are totally against the release of terrorists back to the street of the West Bank and of Gaza. We don't like it, we don't want it, but maybe, just maybe, this is going to be the price. Most Israelis will eventually support it, but, you know, nobody's going to be happy about it.
Well, the nature of these deals in general is that no one's happy. Isn't that really when you know you've reached a compromise?
You're completely right. Let me tell you something. When there was the big deal of Gilad Shalit, when more than 1,000 terrorists were released, I was against it, and I published many articles against the upcoming deal. It's not the same right now, because in that time we were not in a war. In that time, it was not the same case, because soldiers were not killed almost every day. It's not the same. It's not the same. Right now we have many people. I don't know exactly how many of them are alive, but we are speaking about 98 people that are still in the tunnels in other places. So, yes, we have to release them. We have to finish with this problem. And, yes, the price is extremely high. The price is high. But, yes, this time we have to pay it.
That is where we leave it. I'd love your thoughts on it on 061-895-1019. That's Ben-Dror Yamini from Yediot Achronot giving us his view.